Welcome, welcome, welcome back. It's the Who Am I Pod. We are your hosts, King CJ, Kevin. King, how you doing, bro?
Wagwan, my youth. Cheers, cheers.
Man, living, dog. Don't let me go get some soju now.
Dog, it's too early to water for all that.
I got about 50 on it. Let me tell you about on Friday. How about I got home and the homie that sold me the car left me like 15 to 20 soju bottles, right? So I'm like, all right, I bet. A lot. So I got all this soju in the fridge. So I'm like, let me just take one of these to Nick real quick. And so I look in there, I'm thinking like, okay, it got to be flavors. So I look at the red one, I'm like, this got to be like a berry, like, you know, something like that. So I get that thing, start drinking. I'm like, this shit's strong. Like, what's wrong with this thing? So I drank one of them and I drank some more. My homie picked me up. We went out to a Korean bar to go, you know, drink and shit. And we ordered soju there. And I'm like, oh, there's that red one. I'm like, he like, yeah, don't get that one. I'm like, why? He's like, that's the strongest one there is. The red cap is the strongest. No wonder my boys is getting a little toasty. I'm like, good Lord, that red was crazy. So dang. Note to self, the red is not berry. Not red berry, though. But no. Yeah, boys was toasty on Friday. Okay. But yeah, man. Got a lot of stuff to talk about today. We got the remix of the Joe Budden podcast of last week. With more information, more videos coming out, even as early as today, this morning. So we got a response from Maul and Rory. We'll talk about. We got a podcast from Joe Budden and his friends that we gonna talk about. And then we got the big drop from J. Cole we're gonna talk about. So let's get straight into some music. King, I'll let you start out with some singles first.
Yeah, so my first single I'm gonna start off with is Migos with Straightening. And man, it was fire. Like I think they dropped like a teaser video, like on Instagram, like, yo, we come in or whatever. But in the song, that part that they dropped was fire. But like when I heard it, I was like, eh, you know, Migos is like, I don't know. I'm not really excited about a Migos project, to be honest. Not saying that they bad, not saying that I don't appreciate their music. Just I'm craving something different. But I think with this song, they kind of reminded me like they might be at the top of that sound. You know, their sound may be saturated, maybe a lot of people doing it, but it's a reason why people say like that's a Migos flow, like that's a Migos sound, because they kind of pioneered it and definitely brought it to the forefront. And I think this song just showed like there's levels to this, and Migos is definitely at the top. So if you want a good like summer song, good party song, something to throw on into the mix, this new Migos song, Straightening, that's definitely where it's at.
That's what's up. You right about that, though. Like, I just can't remember the last time I, you know, seen Migos drop and was like, oh, man, I got to hear this one.
Yeah, I think just because they split off into their own thing and it was kind of underwhelming. Mm-hmm. And I think that's like with Quavo solo projects, with his collaboration projects with like Travis Scott and then every other one. Like Offset, he kind of been going. But I think like when they come together, I think that's when they really thrive at their best.
And they showing you that, like, there's always an end to a music group, but it seems like they've never had problems with each other. So it's possible to do.
It's family though.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. I'm going to give mine my first one because I want to get some flowers on this one too. T-Pain and Kalani. I like that. Nice little buy you a drink sample. It's weird to listen to T-Pain like go hard like this because he still got the same sound that he had when I was in high school, right? Like, he know how to switch it up a little bit so it sounds a little bit more modern. But it's the same sound. It's the same T-Pain we know and love. And T-Pain is somebody that really don't get enough love because he do everything. He does everything well, everything he does, whether it be the dancing, whether it be the singing, whether it be the business deals, whether it be the connections that he got in the game. If T-Pain had a podcast, it would be fucking incredible, right? T-Pain, every time I see him, it just seemed like a good vibe. It just seemed like wherever he's at, he's having a good time with people that just like, damn, I didn't even know. You know, he was on with Mark Zuckerberg the other day, like on live on Instagram, talking about the DM, his DMs, because he didn't know that DMs could be like a request. So he had this request box with like all these artists and all these people. He like, damn, like I never even knew that existed. So it's just funny because he is kind of an old head. He is kind of the unk at this point. As long as he's been out. So shout out to T-Pain. I wanted to say that first because he needs to get flowers anytime he can. But T-Pain and Kalani, this is actually a really good track. I was actually really surprised. Doing something like this where you take a classic, buy you a drink, right? And do a sample on it. It seems like, again, it's Tory Lanez could get away with it. You know, Drake got a lot of samples on big songs. There's a couple other artists that I'm not mentioning right now, but to see somebody do their own song, right? Do their own like little tweak of their song and then have somebody like Kehlani on it is really surprising to me. Especially when I heard the beat come on, but he did it justice. He did a good job. It's almost just like a remix. Like to me, it's like, it almost comes off as a remix. And I haven't been a big Kehlani fan. Like I haven't, you know, really been listening to music. Always felt like there was people doing her sound a little bit better than she was. So it never really, but she did a good job. She did a good job. It's not easy to hold your own on T-Pain record, but we'll talk about it a little bit later. When you going on with these great artists, it seems like people are, they slide into a different degree. Like they come in with a different degree and I love it. That's the competitive nature that comes with the rap game that we've seen in the R&B game as well. You see when these people are on the same tracks together, they're like, I'm not getting on, you're not about to dust me just because you, this person, like, I'm rap, like I got some respect for myself. Like yes, Kanye said, like I miss that type of energy because we need that in the game. You can't be on Drake record and be trash. You can't be on J. Cole record and be trash. You can't be on Wayne record. You can't be on Kendrick record. You can't be on these records and come through with the weakest verse. Like you got to rap like you got to rap out of your league. And I think something like this, like Kehlani, it sounded like she was coming up to another standard. So shout out to Kehlani. Shout out to T-Pain. That's I like that. This one.
Yeah, bro. T-Pain is definitely he a goat out here in his own respect. Oh, yeah. Like we gotta start giving him his flowers because I think his run, when we look back at it, it's gonna be like, damn, we didn't appreciate T-Pain, bro.
No.
He gave us a generation worth of hits.
Strong, man. strong run.
Yeah. So I'm gonna transition to some new up and comers. This song is Internet Money. And I kind of highlighted them last year when they dropped the Lemonade song, but I didn't really know. So the Internet Money is actually a collective of producers. And they came together and then they released the album last year that had that Lemonade song with Don Toliver, Nav, I believe, and Gunna. So they kind of recreated the wheel right now and they dropped a track called His and Hers. And it's Don Toliver, Gunna, and Lil Uzi. And I think it's good. You know, if you follow that type of sound, if you follow this new age, like the Don Toliver, the Gunna, the Young Thug, the kind of new age rap, like the newer generation, Internet Money is behind a lot of those sounds. And they I respect them a lot because they are on YouTube giving out tutorials every other day of like, this is how you make a chord progression. This is how you splice. This is how you spice up like your drum patterns. This is how you make a good 808. So they can transition from making, you know, chart topping hits, excuse me, to helping out up and coming producers. I think that's just dope from a movement perspective. And to see them come together, and yeah, they had Don Toliver and Gunna on the last one, but then to get Lil Uzi, who was arguably one of the hottest, if not the hottest of the newest generation on their track, shot a video for it and everything. I just think it's dope to see that for their collective, to see that for their movement, and just following like everything that they're doing and giving back to the producer community. It's good to see them kind of reap the rewards of their connections and of their hard work. So that's Internet Money featuring Don Toliver, Lil Uzi, and Gunna with His and Hers.
So let's see. My next one is Good and Plenty Remix, Lucky Day, Masego, and Alex Isley. Very, very good R&B track. Like extremely, extremely good. Like, all their voices sound so good on there that I had to actually like take a second to differentiate with who was who at some point. Like they were just flowing in and out of just really just singing their hearts out. Like it's really low key, but when you hear it, it's so well put together that you would be like, this needs some more credit, right? Because shout out to my sister for even sending me this for one. Cause I don't even know where Good and Plenty came. I don't know if I've heard Good and Plenty the regular. But the remix is crazy. Like, so yeah. I might have to go back and listen to this. So I don't know whose song is this. I'm assuming that is Lucky Day. I don't know if you know.
It's Alex Isley's song.
Alex Isley? Yeah. Well, listen, man. R&B has been strong for, I don't know, since probably about 2-3 years ago. Like, it's not stopping. Like, I don't know what it is. The new artists are coming out and they just seemed so much, like, so much better than what we heard maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Like, it's been just a streak of good R&B artists coming out, good new artists, good R&B albums from legends. It's just been phenomenal from a standpoint of music. So shout out to Good and Plenty. This song is amazing. If you haven't heard that yet, go listen to that one for real.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. My last one is Larry June, Wait On Me. And I kind of had the same thing. Like, if you listen long enough, you're going to hear the same artist from me. You're going to hear me talk about 504, and you're going to hear me talk about Russ. You're going to hear me talk about Larry June, just because I respect the consistency. Like, it just seems like every other month, every other week, you have either a new song or a new project from these artists. And I respect that hustle. And the time and age when we'll talk about this when we're talking about J. Cole. You have great artists that, you know, take years to create. And not saying that it's a bad thing, because when they deliver and it's worth the wait. But you kind of need those intermediate artists to kind of fill in the gaps to say, okay, yeah, this big artist or my favorite hasn't dropped in a year, maybe 2 years, but I need something to listen to in the meantime. And I think Larry June is one of the most consistent Bay Area rappers that consistently gives you a specific sound, kind of like what we talk about when we mention Griselda. So it is a single from his upcoming project. The single is called Wait On Me. It's not really it's more R&B driven. It isn't really as much of a, you know, like pop your collar, talk your pimp shit, talk healthy shit. But I just know that's what I'm expecting on his album. But again, I got to respect the consistency. I got to respect the level of product and the level of work he's putting in, because not only is he doing this, he just opened a restaurant. He has his clothing line out there, and he still just is an overall brand ambassador. And even somebody at a lower level like that, to see him boss up in a time and age where it's so much confusion about what business is or how to conduct business properly, I just got to respect his hustle. So again, that's Larry June, Wait On Me. It's a solid single right there.
All right, let's get to some of the bigger ones. So Nicki Minaj, she got off her writer's block. She said that she said that Drake is single-handedly the reason why. And listen to this track, I can see why. So she did drop Beat Me Up, Scotty. It was a old mixtape, but she actually remixed a little bit of the songs and put some other ones on there. One of the big ones that was on there was Seeing Green with Lil Wayne, Drake, and Nicki Minaj. If anybody has heard Lil Wayne, Drake, and Nicki Minaj, then y'all would know that it's a trio. It's a deadly trio. Pretty much all the songs they had with all three of them has worked. It's been good, and they push each other to go, you know, rap a little bit harder. And it started out with Lil Wayne, and to me, he did it again. To me, this is the Wayne I like, because it's short breaths, right? It's short stints of excellence. I don't need the full Lil Wayne album, because I feel like somewhere in there it seems like he's almost straining himself to get out all the bars that he wants to. It seems like he just kind of, it gets a little bit washed after a while to me, and you can start to hear it when it's over the course of a whole album. When you put him on a song with people that he brought up in the game, he knows that he got to bring it. And usually it's funny, because you can see the switch here where Lil Wayne is typically at the end of these songs. If you look at most of the songs with Lil Wayne, Drake, and Nicki Minaj, he's literally always at the end. Drake almost is somewhere at either the first part or the second part. So they kind of switch it up where Drake is at the end, and it made a lot of sense. But Lil Wayne came through and set the table real, real nice. Nicki Minaj came in the spaz to me. And it's been a while since I've heard her do that. So it was really not really shocking, because you know she got that right. You know she can do that. But it was a little bit of a surprise, because it's just been a while. Drake is in form. Drake seemed like he's definitely ready to drop this album. And if he comes with the type of rap that he had on this one, it's going to be tough. And we'll talk about J. Cole. We'll talk about a little bit about Drake when we talk about that, because we know there's always been a competition between him, Kendrick, and J. Cole. So we'll find out, right? We'll find out if Drake is really informed, because J. Cole did not disappoint. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But if Drake comes like he came on this track, I like when Drake really talking to shit like this. Like, even at the beginning, like, you now listen to the biggest ever, like, okay, like, I'm like, okay, I hear you. So let's get to it then. Yeah, so let's get to it. And then telling people that your girl is better in the morning like a slice of pizza is crazy. It's fucking nuts. So Yeah, this song is really good. It was nice to hear all three of them on the same track. If you caught their live, it was really cool and really telling to see that they still have a good relationship between Drake and Nicki Minaj. And the fact that Drake is like basically had to tell Nicki Minaj, like, yo, get off your ass. Like, you are Nicki Minaj. Like, you need to be rapping. Like, you can't go on just streaks where you just not rapping. That's not you. No, you need to be rapping. So got her off her ass, got her to rap her ass off in one of these. So shout out to both of them, man. It's I haven't heard the rest of the Beam Me Up, Scotty, or which ones are new and which ones are old, but this one definitely stuck out to me.
Yeah, so I think she has five. I wouldn't say new, like some of them, like the Chirac song with G Herbo and then the Boss Ass Bitch remix. Those were kind of like Lucy's that were out there, and she kind of put it on this project. But I think this one, Infractions, I believe, maybe even Crocodile Teeth, but I'm not a barb, so forgive me if I misquote. But I appreciated this project because this is when I first heard about Nicki Minaj. Like, I remember when Wayne was doing his documentaries and, you know, he had the bar like, and I just signed a chick named Nicki Minaj. Like, that's when he kind of like started putting her on a pedestal. And that's when you started to see her on, I think it was either Smack DVDs or Jordan Tower DVDs. But she was on DVDs rapping, like really spitting, to the point where I remember like I Get Crazy. Like, that was a, like in Philly, that used to go. Like, I used to play that at parties. It was another one, the Shopaholic song, the Itty Bitty Piggy, that like all of those were like Nicki classics. And like you said, like Nicki is a rapper. Like, she was one of the best, to the point where I actually went back and listened to her verse on a Monster on the Kanye album. And it's like, bro, that was elite. Like, oh, she washed Kanye, she washed Raw, she washed Jay-Z. She watched everybody on there. So it's like you were saying, like Drake was saying, Nicki is one of the best. I think where what got her out of her element is this was the first time, in my opinion, she was challenged by a new up and comer. Like, she came in the game firing shots at Kim, whatever. But when Cardi B hopped on the scene, you know, I think that kind of threatened her dominance. She's been dominant for so long, kind of got her out of her body. But once she gets into her zone and really like stamps, like, yo, I'm the best, like I am one of the best rappers, like men or women, that's when we get Primetime Nicki. And I think she really pulled it on that song. Like you said, Wayne, ever since he got like out of his bad contracts and everything like that, Wayne has been going. Like, granted, I might not want to listen to a 30 track album from Wayne, but Wayne has been consistently holding his own, to the point like he dropped a song with Benny the Butcher and Conway the Machine and held his own. Like, that's saying something. He held his own on this track, and Nicki was going crazy and Drake was going crazy and he held his own. So that's saying something. But then Drake saying like, yo, I'm goated. Like, stop playing with me. Like, I'm the GOAT, bro. Like, to say that when you on the song with the person that you refer to as the GOAT, that just shows me he's in a different mindset. He's in a different mentality, and he's really about to put the gas down. So this was a great song. I'm excited for upcoming Nicki projects. I'm excited about upcoming Drake projects. And I'm still excited for what Wayne has to offer based on this too. So overall, good track.
Let me ask you this. Is, to people that actually listen to rap, is the Cardi B Nicki Minaj comparison even fair? Like, because it was never really a thing to me.
It wasn't, but Cardi B was hotter.
Yeah.
You know, and I think Nicki shot herself in the foot when she tried to play the, like, I'm hot game. She should have stood on, yo, I'm the queen. You got to come to me.
Yeah.
She kind of got insecure and she went down to Cardi B level where nobody can fuck with Cardi B at her level. You know what I'm saying? She got the street. She was the up and comer. She was fresh out the strip club. She had the Love and Hip Hop buzz. You can't beat her there. If she would have just stuck with the bars, she would have just stuck with, I make hits. I got decades worth, or, you know what I mean? I got a decade worth of hits. It wouldn't have been close, but I think Cardi got in her head.
Yeah, I can see that. Well,
and then she ended up with the speed knot. So, you know, tomatoes, ooh, potatoes, whatever the saying is.
I'm just saying, because I still stand by, I don't think Cardi B could rap that well. So that's just me. I don't think that when you put her up against Nicki Minaj, just in general, just music, it's not really. That's a wash every time.
Look, bro, this is a hot take, all right? Cardi B to me is like Michael B. Jordan. Like, Cardi B is a star, right? Mm-hmm. She's not the best rapper. I feel like B. Jordan is a star.
Yeah.
But he's not really a particularly good actor, in my opinion.
He's not. He's pretty good. All right.
Fair. That's my opinion. Fair. I look at his movies. I'm like, bro, this is not. This ain't it. Yeah.
I mean, you know, when you see Chadwick Boseman was a great actor. Like, he really got into his roles.
That's what I'm saying.
So, in comparison to somebody like that, I can see why you said it.
But even then, look at what's his name? What's Denzel Washington's son? That was in Tenet. Like, he's a newer, up and coming actor. Like,
right.
He's a great actor.
Right.
You know, you got other, like the, I'm not going to slaughter his name, but the two actors from Lakeith Stanfield and the other actor from, right. Uh-huh. Those are great actors. Whereas though, Michael B. Jordan, I don't think can pull off those roles. But he's a star. You know, I'm going to tune in every time he drops something, every time he drops a movie, but his acting per se isn't really the best. Same thing with Cardi. She's a star. Anything she does is going to do numbers. She's going to get eyeballs. When you listen to, like, when you break down the science of what she's doing, she's not really that good at it, to be honest.
Yeah. I agree. But I think that is a hot take. That is a hot take.
Let me know in the comments if you agree or disagree. You know what I mean?
All right. Let's see. What, you got more singles, don't you?
Oh, that was my last single.
Okay, you got one more album, and then we get to J. Cole?
Yeah, I got one more album. So it's actually an EP, I believe, but it's Georgia Smith with Be Right Back. 8 songs, 26 minutes, right up Kevo Ali. You know what I'm saying? It is some R&B. I got tuned into Georgia Smith. I think her last project, I don't want to misquote, I think it was in 2018. It was really good, but that was when she was kind of working with Drake. And they had their kind of little thing, and it was rumored that Drake was sending some shots after they broke up, and you know, she was super young and it was like real controversial at the time. But I think she was young, but she had like a very mature sound, kind of like an Alex Isley's, where it's like, it just sounds like kind of old school R&B where it just sounds mature. And I think that she kind of recreated this on her, this EP. This, I do think though, it was more popish. It sounded kind of more like Adele, you know, granted they're both from the UK, I believe. I can see the influence, but again, she is an amazing singer. She does make great music. And she just said, or like in the album description, like, I miss my fans. I just wanted to give them something because it's been 3 years since I dropped something. I think that this was a good EP, but kind of like you were saying, it's so much R&B out here right now with so many voices, especially when it comes to women. Like, it's a new woman popping up every day that's like, hey, I'm coming for the crown. Like, we talk about Nicki being dominant and Cardi B. It's a new woman taking the crown each year. Like, yo, I'm the best. No, I'm the best. So I think that it's good to have that competition because we as fans get the treat of so much good music. And I think that this is a good move on her to say, yo, it's been a little bit. Let me just put this back out there to let y'all know I'm still one of them ones. And I think it was a good one. It, like I said, it's a little more poppy. Little bit more of kind of like in the line with Adele, but I do appreciate her voice and I do like her potential and where she could go with the upcoming album.
Oh yeah. So I want to hear this too. So, you know, when you said it was 8 songs, that's where I went to. I said, well, I guess I'm going to download it. So I will hear that a little bit later. So now we got the big drop. So now we got Cole. Let's see, man. Where did it even begin? Where do we even begin?
Off season,
12 songs, 39 minutes. You already know. I don't have to say it, but I'm gonna say it anyway. Right up my alley. listen, this is high level rap. It really is. So what? I'll even just pose this question. Let's just start with this. I'll pose this question. Did Cole deliver, and why? I'll pose that to you first, and then I'll answer that.
Yes, he delivered. And because he got better in a time where I didn't think it was possible for Cole to get better, he delivered and it was better than I expected. And I had huge expectations for it.
I would say yes, because this is not the most lyrical stuff we've probably heard from J. Cole, as far as just like stuff that kind of make you like think like crazy. Like, even the bar where he's, you know, he said, if the beef come around, you know, I'll put an M right on your head, you Luigi brother now. Like, that's super hard to be, and it's simple, right? Some people, I've seen mixed reviews about that specific bar, but I'm just using that as an example. There was a lot of those in this album. It was a lot that I didn't have to think a bunch about what he's trying to say, what he's trying to get off. it was just a nice wordplay thing that just like, oh, damn. Okay, I caught that one. I caught that one immediately, too. I didn't have to sit there and think about it. Sometimes I think J. Cole can be a little bit too intelligent, maybe, when his rap. Like, it just kind of goes over people's heads sometimes. So he did a good job of picking the right beats, having the right features, saying the right things when need to be said, right where the beat needs to have that, making sure those bars hit you and don't go over your head. That's growth. That's growth to me. Like, he's just showing you, I don't need to do 50 songs. I don't need to do super dope and crazy mindset type things. This is just 12 songs of me just rapping. It sounds like damn near freestyles. Like that's where Cole was coming with this energy, and I really appreciated it.
Yeah, bro. He said my latest speech feel like it was written by David East. Like, that's
bro.
You know what I'm saying? I felt that. And I understand where you're coming from, where you feel like it's not that lyrical. I thought this was maybe his most lyrical, because although it may not have been that complex, it was bar after bar after bar. It felt like a battle rap. Like, it was just one after another, to a point where I was entertained throughout his whole verse or throughout this whole album. Whereas though, one of the biggest critiques of J. Cole's career has just been like, oh, it's boring. Like, it's too, you know what I'm saying? It's too like chill, too mellow. He just goes off on stories, and what, like, this one was, yo, I'm in tune. Like, he said, I'm gonna pop up. I'm gonna see you, and it's on site. Like, I work at Squarespace, and Squarespace is the people that make websites. Like, yeah, I'm saying, like you say, it's not like I don't remember a J. Cole project where he's had this many quotables. You know, and when you look at his rollout, when you look at the documentary, like the 12-minute documentary that he released in preparation for it, I see why. Because he was talking about putting himself through writing drills like he did back when, before he made it. And when you listen back to his old projects, the Come Up, Friday Night Lights, I think it's the Warm Up too. That's when he was at his hungriest. That's when he was this punchline. That's when he was known as Young Simba. And he would give you these bars like this. And it's been years since I heard him this hungry, but it, as far as bars, I felt like he elevated. And I think the biggest elevation to me was the production. The biggest critique that I've always had is J. Cole, he loves to produce everything himself, which I applaud him. I think that's dope that you are one of the few people that can do that. But when you get with a Boy Wonder, when you get with a Jake One, when you get with a DJ Dahi, it's clear, yo, you can go to another level. You can elevate. You can be up here and you can be, you know, and I'll talk about this a little bit later because I don't want to get too long-winded. You can position yourself like a king should. And I feel like it's three kings right now in hip hop. And J. Cole has been the only one neglecting to act like a king. He's been too humble, too like, yo, I'm just chilling. You know what I mean? I'm going to dress like a bum. I don't care. I'll just do it for the love. I'm going to put out a passion project that's for this one person. I don't really care if it do number. This project, J. Cole acted like a king. And if he just would have done this his whole career, we wouldn't be talking about Drake the same way with, you know, like we talk about Drake like, yeah, he number one. Like, yeah, it is what it is. If J. Cole would have done this his whole career, hey, we'd be having a different conversation. Right. You know, and I feel like his production, like, unfortunately, I feel like the ones that he produced were the weakest ones, but they weren't bad. No. I don't think there was a bad song on his project, but I just think like this was elevation. You know, it's super early. We just heard it just released, but it's definitely one of my favorite J. Cole projects.
Oh yeah. And I'm always a fan of the first song being just hard as fuck. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I always can appreciate when the first song let me know what time you on. Like, I don't need no intro. I don't need nothing. I want you to rap your ass off on the first track so I know what I'm gonna be expecting for the rest of this song. And he did that crazy with Cam'ron on there. Now, my critique is that I wish Cam'ron would have been rapping on there, but that's okay. We can live without that. But everything he was saying, it was slow, and then it got to where he just started spazzing. I was like, bitch, my pen to the paper lethal. Like, I'm about to start spazzing on here. Like, y'all need to quit playing with me, dog. Like, I'm really like this. So it's one thing. Like you said, he should have probably been acting like this a while ago. And it did seem like he didn't really, he was, because he was so humble, it didn't really seem like he had that in him, right? Like, we know that J. Cole know that his pen is nice.
Right.
But sometimes you got to tell us. You know, sometimes you got to let us know in the former bars. Like, sometimes you just need to say, like, I'm the best, dog. Like, I really be doing this. Like, y'all not fuck with me. Like, your little 30-track song doing a measly 100,000. Like, I got 12 songs for you, and they better than any 12 from that 31. Like, I'm saying. And to add on to that, J. Cole say we don't need the long albums either. I think we should dead that off. So, like, let's just do that now, so J. Cole don't have to come at somebody's neck like that again. Because there, when he said that, I thought of several artists that I was like, So there's, like you said, there's bars like that everywhere, and then you get to the features. And motherfuckers was rapping the ass off. I don't think I've heard a better 21 Savage verse than what he delivered on this one. Truthfully. I haven't heard a peep from 21 Savage in a while. I think he had like a Saul soundtrack that was kind of like whatever. But I haven't really heard him rap in a while, really, like, to me. I know he's been on his fashion shit. He's been chilling, living life. I have no problem with that. It's crazy to hear 21 Savage come out and be like, I'm just going to rap my ass off. Like, I'm just going to rap like this is the first song I've ever had in my life. Like, I'm really going to deliver on this because I'm here with J. Cole. Like, it's shocking. It's almost shocking. Now, Lil Baby has been on every track, it feels like, every big drop in, like, the last 12 months, it feels like. And he continues to deliver at a high level, and that's why he's in a top 10 space now. And he's slowly but surely rising up to that 5-4, and then we'll see what Kendrick got coming, because at some point he's gonna have to move out and give his seat to somebody else if he's gonna not release music. But Lil Baby is rising at really not even slowly, really at an astonishing rate. So you get to these features, man, and like I said, you gotta love that type of competition when you know you're rapping with somebody like a Cole. Like, I am not finna get washed on this. I'm not finna lose. I'm not doing that. And you can argue he might have got the better of him. You know, it depends. But if you say he did, the craziest thing is that you're saying in a few month time frame, Lil Baby has got on tracks with Drake and J. Cole and arguably got the better of both of them. That's where we at with Lil Baby right now. I know this ain't a Lil Baby topic, but I'm just saying that is where we're at with Lil Baby right now. Just think about that for just a second. That's wild. So I'm just saying, you gotta love that type of competition in the rap game. J. Cole, it seems like he really was willing to bring that out of people. And when, I'm sure if you sat down and you heard some of the songs that he had on this album, he like, yo, I want you on this album, you would know that, okay, I can't fuck around right now. This is not the time to be playing with J. Cole. J. Cole, when he said he offing people, and he was really at people neck this album, man. I love to see it, especially in a 39-minute album.
Yeah, man. Going back to what you said on that first track, I think the symbolism of it, one, it was amazing. You know, like, Boy Wonder, he put his foot in that thing, you know, one of the best producers out there. And again, this is why we need J. Cole to get with the top level producers, because this is what we get. And the genius, because, you know, he's from the South, he's from North Carolina, but he also spent a large part in New York. And to see him have that beat and bring, like, Cam'ron, because I can't think of a better person to talk heavy on with that sound. Like, that is a Cam'ron sound. But then at the end, to put Lil Jon and just get crunk, like, that, like, I was in the gym listening to that, and I got goosebumps. Like, bro, this is crazy right now. And it felt like an intro. And with the last one, the last song, what is it called? Hunger on Hillside, that felt like an outro. Like, this was a complete body of work. I mean, from start to finish, like, it started hard. You got your ebbs and flows. You got the introspective. You got stories with him talking about, you know, him being with his son, to him scuffling with Diddy. You got the skit on there where he's talking about, yo, everybody think that they do what I do. That's why sometimes you have to come up and just show them, like, this is what I do, and you don't do what I do at my level. And you have to show them, just like exactly what you said. And that was just, like, perfect. Everything just made sense. Every feature made sense. Every skit, every beat made sense. And I feel like this is the highest level of rap. This is, again, what a king does. And again, like you said, Baby, he's making a shot at the throne. Like, Baby's doing everything you're supposed to do to sit on that throne and say, yo, I'm a king too. You know what I mean? Like, we gonna have a GOAT conversation, but yo, I'm a king. Like, I've just got on the track with Drake. I just got on the track with Cole. I just got on the track with Joyner. And you can arguably say I watched all of them. So what are we talking about? I'm the best. You know what I'm saying? He has that claim. When you take some time off and you just deliver the same thing, I would have looked at J. Cole a certain way. Rather, if it would have been good or not, if it just would have been the same old J. Cole, I would have been, you know, I would have felt some type of way. But the fact that he elevated, the fact that he chose to, you know, I'm already established. I can retire right now. My legacy is solidified, but I'm going to do something different. I'm going to keep getting better. That just shows me his commitment to the game. This is what I'll say. He struck first. So automatically he has more credential of respect from me, because it's been so long since we got a Kendrick album, and then we know Drake keep pushing his back. So automatically I'm holding J. Cole. I'm grading his with a curve because he was brave enough to strike first. So if Cole don't deliver to this level, or if Drake don't deliver to this level, we're going to start to have a different conversation about J. Cole, because I think his past two, you know, have been like, all right, Cole, one of them ones, then he got classics. This has the potential to be a classic. Hey, we need to, hey, Kendrick, you better step it up. Hey, Drake, you better step it up, because Cole on you, for real.
That's why I was really happy to hear the Drake verse that we heard, because it came out same day.
Right.
Yeah, so I was actually kind of excited to hear that Drake does not seem like he's going to shy away from this at all. Now he already has the clip loaded. He just got to release it. So it's definitely, like I said, I was texting you. I said Drake can't slip now. This is not the time to release something that's not anything outside of Drake's best work coming out right here might result in him losing his spot at number one. Sincerely. Like anything that's not a classic, really, is probably underwhelming. And we talked about this last time. Expectations, they can work against you. This might be a time that expectations might work against him. And because he didn't drop back in February when he was supposed to, it might have also worked against him. Because now here come J. Cole dropping some of his best work yet. He's always been in that number two, number three spot to me around there. And I feel like Kendrick and Drake are the one that kind of flip-flopped a few times in the past, you know, decade or what or so.
Right.
But they've always been somewhere in that three spot to that two spot. J. Cole, to me now, if Drake doesn't deliver, he's number one and it's probably not going to be close. And it'll be really, really hard for Drake to gain that spot back for me going forward. Now, the last decade, I'm giving that to Drake already.
Right.
The next decade, it might go to Cole. It might go to Kendrick if we ever hear Kendrick again. But this is fun. This is good. This is good competition now. I like this. I don't know the last time they've dropped in the same year. You know what I'm saying? I can't really remember the last time I heard J. Cole and Drake or Kendrick drop in the same year. So if Drake do come out and then Kendrick come out on the same year, we'll get our answer. We'll really get our answer. And you got to be excited for that. I'm really excited for where we heading as far as hip hop goes, where we heading as far as rap goes. It feels like that competitive nature is back. And Drake actually said that a few years ago. Like, I think when at the break of 2019, 2020, that interview he had, and he said, like, the last 10 is over. I got that. Let's see what's going to happen next. Cause I'm ready. I'm ready for it. Drake has always, to me, been the one that's always wanted to have that number one spot. It always felt like Cole really didn't care about that. It always felt like Kendrick was just kind of do his own thing. Drake has always been the one to meet us always in interviews and in songs and things like that. I'm top two and I'm not two. It's you know, bars like that, it just always felt like he was the one that wanted that number one spot and he was willing to go out there and say it. Now there's a real challenger, because now Cole really came in out saying like, nah, it's me. It's me, dog. Like, stop playing, it's me. So we going to see, man. It's fun. It's exciting, man. It really is. It's really exciting.
Yeah, man. Like you said, this is the thing. You can't say anything bad about Cole, bro. Nah. Like, you can't say anything bad about him. You know what I mean? So it's like,
especially not right now.
I mean, at all. Look at his record. Like, hey, yeah. bro. You could be like, all right, yeah, like, I ain't like the For Your Eyes Only. It's like, bro, do you even know what that's about? It's like, ah, all right, bet. You right. You know what I'm saying? Like, got the respect to everybody in the game. You know what I mean? He challenged the younger generation, but then agreed to mentor the younger generation. You know what I mean? And it coming with stuff like this, created a, yo, his roster? Dreamville? Hey, bro. Let's not act like, yo, we don't got Boss on there. We don't got Ari Lennox on there. We don't got JID on there. We don't got Earth Gang on there. Let's not act like we don't have like a crazy roster up under him, and he's pushing and he's making them flourish to the point where every time they drop, you know about it because of him. Like, hey, bro, it's, I don't know, man. I'm always highly critical of J. Cole, and I admit that, and it might come off as hate, but it's, I have high expectations for people that I consider could be the king. You know what I mean? Again, when, you know, heavy is the crown, you know what I mean? So you want to be the king. You want to step up and do that. You have a lot of responsibility. You have a lot of expectations. And like you said, J. Cole has always been the humble one. Like, yeah, whatever. I'm just here to rap. I don't really care about that. But this, he kind of stepped up, put on the guard, put on a crown, sat in the throne, and it fit him. And it's like, yo, hey, this is what we need. This is like, this is exactly what we need right now. Like you said, this makes the game fun. It makes it interesting. Hey, you could arguably be the best right now, bro. And that's all it took. It took less than 40 minutes. So shout out to Cole, man. Off-season, phenomenal album.
Mm-hmm. I always thought it was funny, just as a side note, it's crazy that like the most talented people have an eye to find the most talented people. Like we just talked about how J. Cole got all that. Drake has spotted things that we've never like as Facts. Far especially from R&B standpoint. You can even Facts. Especially if you want to credit Giveon, because he was one of the first person to put Giveon on a song too. So if you credit the people that he's found and like, yo, you get on my track, like, yo, you get, that's crazy. If you look at TDE with Kendrick, if you look at Wayne just finding Drake and Nicki Minaj and signing them and saying like, yo, the people that are really talented are really good at finding other talent. It's funny that way. It's funny that it works that way.
Hey, man, game recognized game.
For real.
Hey, man. But, you know, Oh, sorry. What you was going to say?
No, go ahead.
You was about to say that's how you recognize me? I know, bro. Thank you. Thank you for your...
You know what? You better not ever ask for the accounting. That's all I know. I'm just saying,
bro. You checked the who of my budget, bro.
Yeah, you better not ever ask for the budget. No, no, no.
It's looking crazy.
You got a calculator, don't you?
Yeah. Dog. Man.
Well, moving on, man. I know it's crazy. It just kind of feels like a now we the Joe Budden reporters at this point, but it's really the biggest stuff going on right now as far as a standpoint for something that we want to talk about, we're really interested in. And so the Joe Budden podcast just keep, but wait, there's more in us. So
Thanks.
Here we are again with some more stuff to talk about. And, if you haven't heard, Joe Budden had a podcast, with him, Parks and Ian. Those that don't know, Parks is like a producer type guy. Ian is like a lawyer type guy. So they all do business together. And he basically, I mean, for lack of better words, he basically started airing that out. On Rory and Maul, and even in there towards the end of that, he even fired Rory on the actual podcast. Now that podcast is now down, but you can still go on there on YouTube, type it in, you'll find a bunch of clips. I don't know if I even watched the full episode. I remember I watched an hour and 30 minute long type of clip. It just seemed like he was ranting the whole time. I don't know if that's the full episode because again, it was taken down, which speaks volumes. But we'll get to that. Today, this morning, I'm pretty sure it was this morning, is where Rory and Maul actually got on a podcast and they you know basically rebutted it. There's an hour long, very telling, very very telling. So I guess here let's start here. So I've seen, it's crazy because when these situations happen, you usually get like the masses think one way or the other. I've seen a lot of mixed reviews. I've seen people saying Rory and Maul are clowns. Obviously, Academics is hopping on the Joe Budden side that during that time, and people really going at Rory and Maul. I've seen people that say Joe Budden is a clown and he's doing the most. And so where do you stand, King, and why really? And just let's start with the Joe Budden. Like, what was your first initial reaction to the Joe Budden podcast, before the Rory and Maul rebuttal hit came out?
Yeah. So I'm not going to go as far as say he's a clown, because again, I don't know that man. You know, I don't know him personally. I never met him, so I can't judge his character, but I can't agree with how he conducts himself to the point where you just had these two individuals in front of your face for two episodes and you never got that spicy. But as soon as you know, they don't show up, you get the hooting and hollering and, yo, you fired. Yo, you measly, you this, you nobody even told you to come to the podcast. You're not even my mans. Ma, you was living in my house and you was hiding detergent in the room. Like, he was talking so spicy when they weren't there. But then when they were there, it wasn't that way. To the point where he had another podcast that dropped this morning as well. He was basically apologizing. Like, yo, I shouldn't have said that. A lot of that stuff should have been edited out. That's why we took it down. I didn't expect it to make its way across the internet. And it's like, nah, bro, keep that same energy. Mm-hmm. You was talking all crazy. You fired. I'm going to sue you. Blah, 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 blah. But then when you get the other side of it, hey, again, I don't know any of these people. I wasn't present for any of these conversations. But I can understand where Rory and Maul are coming from. I can't understand where Joe Budden is coming from. And again, this is coming from a longtime Joe Budden fan. The only reason I listened to the podcast or figured it out because I was a fan of his music. And I don't know, man. It's just how he conducted himself. If you really want to invest in it, I think it's on Vimeo for $2. I supported it just because I respect their grind. But I think it's on YouTube as well. Listen to their side of the story. And I think it's really telling of who Joe Budden is. And it kind of lines up exactly what we've been seeing over these past couple years with his behavior, whether that be in relationships, whether that be in rap groups, whether that be in business. It's more of the same.
Yeah, I am clearly on the side of Rory and Maul here if I had to choose a side. And the reason being is the most telling thing is the way people react, like body language, the anger, the however they react. There was really only one time on the hour-long podcast that Rory and Maul did that it got a little bit spicy, and that's just because Maul felt like Joe Budden was attacking his character. When it came to the business of everything, the way Rory and Maul explained it was calm, concise. It had the facts in it. There was never any ill will. They never really tried to talk bad about Joe Budden. They even admitted that they never even thought he was stealing. The only thing that they wanted was the numbers. That's all it seemed like they asked for. When you listen to Joe Budden's side of the story, anger, yelling, disrespectful even. Then he has people enabling him on the side to make him feel like he's even better on. Even halfway through even that podcast, some of y'all talk so y'all can, you know, verify, y'all can validate, basically just, you know, so he's seeking validation from Parks and Ian during the whole podcast. And so not only that, then to turn around and take it down, it just feels like that's insincere. Like none of that, what you said just really feels like the real story. Because you don't even stand by that story. Not enough for you to keep it up. And then to rebuttal that, to say that you apologize for anything that was in there. Well, then which one is it? Which energy are we gonna get? Because I don't know, because you keep fluctuating. So if I was to accuse anybody of anything and they reacted with anger, I would automatically feel like, okay, something a little odd here. Right. Like you go to your girl and you say, hey, I heard you've been doing this or that. And she says, well, what the fuck? What about you? And this and that. Anytime it gets to that, it's starting to get a little spicy. It's starting to get a little shaky to me. So to me, that was Joe Budden the entire time. The entire time on that whole episode, it just seemed like he was in such a defensive like mode. Like, oh, don't look at me. Like, look at them and look at what they doing. And I ain't do this, and they got disrespectful to me, and you don't have the right to do this to me. And it was always about him, but we know that because the ego is too big for Joe Budden, right? So I'm not saying, again, I don't know if they were stealing. I don't think so. I don't even think Murray and Maul thought so. I just think it's really telling to see the different sides of the coin when Rory and Maul had their podcast from where Joe Budden and Parks and Ian had their podcast. It just seemed really telling that we got both sides of the story, and now we got all the information that we can possibly want, and you can judge for yourself to see what you think about the situation.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just framing of what the problem actually is. If you listen to Joe Budden frame the argument or frame the issue is, yo, they want to look at the accountant. They think I'm stealing, and yo, I created this platform. I built this with you. This is on my network. So how could you ask for the intellectual property? And how could you ask to be an owner of something like this? Is something I built and y'all here with me. But when you listen to Rory and Maul say it, it's like, bro, we don't want to own the podcast. It's yours. So on your YouTube channel, it has your name on it. We cool with that. But we are, I think it's a percentage mm-hmm. partners or something like that. Mm-hmm. So they have an agreement to where each of them make a certain amount of certain percentage based on what comes in. But in order for them to figure out what they should be getting, they have to see the accounting of what all is coming in to make sure that they're getting the right percentage. And Rory and Maul was basically saying they got one Excel spreadsheet, like, or they were getting emails with just like highlights, like, yo, this is what we did, like within an email. And he was like, no, we want to see like the accounting, like we want to see the real, like raw number, like we want to see the actual accounting of it, not just bullet points in an email. Then they were given an Excel spreadsheet. It's like, yo, anybody can put numbers in an Excel spreadsheet. What is the real accounting? And then when they found the Excel spreadsheet, there was a $400,000 mistake in there that Rory actually called out and was like, yo, what's this? And he hit up the firm and he's like, oh, bet you're right. That is a mistake. So even what you're giving them, something is wrong. But then they're like, yo, what's up? Like, did y'all fix that? And they're like, yeah. All right. Can we see the accounting now? And he's like, no. He's like, what are you talking about? Granted, Joe Budden is saying like, yo, I'm overpaying you. I'm paying all of this. And they made it clear, like, we don't have no problem with the money that we get. It's not, we're not getting paid enough. We're not getting jerked. We just want to see the percentages to make sure we're getting what we're supposed to get paid. Because even Maul, like you could tell Rory was kind of being PC, like, hey, bro, like we was getting nice checks and they wasn't throwing too much numbers out there. But Maul was saying like, there's just certain things didn't add up to where it's like they were going to different live shows and they were getting more bigger and bigger venues and they were selling more and more tickets, but their rate was the same. And it's like, yo, I'm not an accountant, but that just don't make sense. If we sell 500 more tickets, I should probably see a pay increase. But I can't tell until I see the percentage, until I see the accounting. So let me see the accounting. And every time they will bring that up to Joe, it will become an issue. And even Joe corroborated that, just saying like, yo, they kept trying to audit me. They kept trying to check the accountant. And I'm like, no, you could do the math. You could add it up, to the point where Maul said that he was asking him about the accountant, like asking about the accounting. And then Joe was like, yo, don't you got a calculator? Like, can't you add it up? And that kind of goes to the point where it's like, bro, like, this your man's. Like I was saying last, like, this is your man's. This is the same thing that you screamed at Lil Yachty for. Like, the first viral moment, like, yo, you should know what's in your fucking contract. You should, like, getting all crazy to the point Yachty is like, yo, chill. To the point where he got beef with QC and Migos because he was arguing with him for not knowing his contract. But all they're doing is just saying, yo, let me see the accounting because our contract stipulates we're supposed to get a certain percentage. Let me see what the numbers are. And now you get mad. And it's crazy to see like Joe Budden become this person. And again, I hate to be pick sides and play favoritism. I try to be objective, but the Maul, and for me, Maul is the realest one in this whole situation.
Yep.
Maul just stood out to me. It's just like, yo, I respect homie on his principles. He was saying like, you are now in a different space that you've never been in your rap career. It's people now negotiating you, talking to you. You're at tables negotiating a lot more money, things that you were never able to do in your rap career. And maybe that's affecting your ego. You up here claiming like, yo, I got the line wrapped around the block for this show, when you never were able to do that for your rap career, but not acknowledging the fact that they're coming here to see all three of us, or all four of us, including Parks. So when you look at the signs, like, yes, again, I don't know all the stories. I've never met these people. But when you look at how everybody acts, you look at how the things unfolded, man, it's looking like all roads lead back to jail.
And that's his MO, though. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, at this point, like, that's...
Facts.
that's his MO, and we've talked about it last, so I don't have to go over there, but that is Joe Budden's MO. I don't know where they go from here is the question. The most disrespectful thing to me wasn't even the firing. It was the fact that he literally sat there and said that if they go on to create a podcast any time in the next 12 months, he was going to sue the pants off. You going to lawyers is crazy. Like, even like, like, even Maul said, like, when kept saying, well, then Otomy, he like, that's disgusting. I would never think about taking you to court. I would never do that. You my dog, whether we got differences or not. To turn around and get the energy, it was like, yo, you can't do a podcast or I'm going to sue you. It's crazy. It's nuts, bro. It's almost unfathomable. It's like, how do we get here? That's when you kind of got to ask, right? Like, I can never imagine me and King having a disagreement to that extent. And then to be going back and forth on podcasts, right? Like, they are so far away from what I thought their relationship was. And that all stems off of a question of, I just want to see the numbers. That's like a ridiculous, like, argument, because it's just like, it's something so simple. I just want to see the number. I'm not saying I have a problem with the money. I'm not saying you're stealing. You have a guilty conscience because you're the one bringing all these type of accusations on. You're putting that stuff in your own head. You overanalyzing the question. I just want to see the numbers, dog. Like, if there is something wrong, then we can discuss at that point, but we're not even getting to that bridge because you're not allowing us to see that. That's sketchy. That's weird. You are the one being odd in this situation. For us to ask that question isn't weird. Even if you're saying that this is your company, we've been working here. We've been working here for the better part of a decade. I should surely be able to ask to see the numbers at this point, right? I've given so much time to it. I made so much money off of it. I made you so much more money off of it. So seeing the numbers is a problem now? Like, yeah, I don't know, man. That's sketchy, bro. I really can't even add on to anything that you just said, because you put it like perfectly. Maul is the realest one in this situation, right? You can literally see, and like I said, Maul got mad one time. Maul got a little spicy one time, and as he should. Do not frame me out to be some dirty dude on the side of the road that you just picked up and brought up like I'm your son or something like that. That's not how this was going. That's not what happened. Like, if you're going to tell a story, then at least tell the truth about me. Do not attack my character. I've always kept it real with you. Even now in a disagreement, I'm still keeping it real with you. Do not act like that. When you had your bad situations, whose homie was it to come to your rescue? It was my homie. When you was needing somewhere to stay, it was me. So don't now act like I wasn't hustling, like I wasn't getting my own money before you came along. Like, the craziest lie was, like, I had money in my pocket. I might have had more money than you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's real. So it's dirty. It's underhanded to me what Joe Budden did. And then it's, like I said, just the fact that he took it down so swiftly was telling alone. So it's no surprise to me now that Roy and Maul came out and told a story that it's just such a good side of the story.
I would just say, like, I've been in friendships where it ended badly, right? And it's just certain places I'm not going to go just out of respect for the friendship that we had before. You know what I mean? I've been with people that I consider them my bros. Like, real talk, you see them, you see me, you know, and that we like synonymous, and that we fell out to the point where we're not even speaking no more. But you still not going to catch me talking crazy about them. You still, when their name get brought up, I'm not going, you know, get out of pocket, because at one point that was my man. So I would be a fool, or I would look crazy, or I would look fake, you know, turning my back on them and, you know, kicking them while they down, so to speak. So it's just a way to conduct yourself. I think that, like you said, Maul got spicy on that one point, but I think for the allegations made against him, the way that Joe was kind of framing him to be like, yo, we never broke bread together, and then Maul to be like, yo, I got you features on this person. I got you the bag on here for these walkthroughs. You know, when you got into trouble with Consequence, it was my mans that popped off on him. So don't act like it was just a one way thing. Like, I'm homeless, so you doing something for me. And then to say, yo, he was hiding laundry detergent in the room. He was like, let's look what you hiding. You hiding the accounting. You know what I'm saying? You hiding the numbers. You hide this. Yeah. So what we talk about? So it's a way that you conduct yourself. Like, it's, I don't know, man. It's just, I can't respect how somebody like that can conduct himself. Cause like you said, I think on the last pod, if he gonna do this to his friends, how can you trust him? How can you be a corporation to feel like he's gonna do something with you and hold up his end of the deal? How can you trust that this won't be you in a couple of years? So I just, you know, shout out to Charlamagne, cause they had an episode, I think, way back when it was still recording in like the little studio. And he called it to a T. So it was like, yo, bro, I don't think Joe consider you friends. And you kind of disposable. Going to show you like, hey, bro. And then Maul even said it like, yo, I see the play. You going to bring in two other people and just make it seem like, yo, you just fill the seats with anybody. And it's, man, it's just to use a word that I never use until I started listening to that podcast. It's nasty. Yeah. You know, that whole situation is nasty. And, you know, Joe's holding the L, in my opinion.
Yeah, and the whole Joe Budden podcast now, really, if you look at it, holds L, because I don't believe that there's a good way to recover from this. You know what I mean? Just business-wise. Like, I don't see, because who do you grab now, right? Do you go the guest way? Like, he had Kevin Samuels on a little bit ago. Like, do you just bring guests on now? Do you just stay with Parks and Ian? None of that is Maul and Rory. None of that can really replace your two co-hosts. So it is what it is, man. We'll see what happens, but it doesn't bode well unless they can get it back together. But at this point, it doesn't seem reconciled.
Yeah, man. Be your own people, dog.
It do be your own people, man. But you know what else be your own people? Positivity.
You got that right.
Positivity. So let's get to these positivity shout outs, man. So mine's going to be really short. I just thought this was kind of a cool story. Back in 2018, Drake gave out about $1 million during that God's Plan. His had the whole budget for the God's Plan video. And he basically gave out almost about $1 million. One of the recipients of that is Destiny James, who's getting my positivity shout out. She received $50K for a scholarship in that video. And actually, you can go watch that now. That was again 2018, so about 3 years ago. She's now graduated with a master's degree, and for one, the timing of that is just shocking, because I don't know how far she was along when she actually got that $50,000, but for only 3 years later for her to be graduating with her master's is nuts, right? And it's one thing to receive a blessing, right? It's one thing to receive, you know, something that you didn't expect, like $50,000. It's another thing to make sure that you don't trick that off, right? School, going to school is not easy, right? Like no one thinks it is. Getting a master's degree is even harder, right? So it's easy to say, well, that ain't even my $50K. Like, I'm going to skip this class. I'm going to not do this. I'm going to do this or that. She didn't do any of that. It seemed to me like that actually made her go harder in order to get her master's degree. So to me, it's shocking, right? I want to see how all of those people that actually got that money on that time, like, how they responded to it, because this is great to me. And even still, like, you've seen Drake actually shout her out on Twitter and said, like, yo, like, congrats, Dez. Like, it's love that just like 3 years later, like, you got one of the biggest stars in the game that did something good for somebody. He's still like, I still see you though. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I still see you doing good. So shout out to her. Shout out to Destiny James. I hope, and I'm wishing that these blessings continue on her path. And as she continues to go forward, man, I'm hoping big things for her, man. That's really love for me. So my positive shout goes out to Destiny James.
Black women continue to hold this W, dog.
Bro.
Continue to hold this W.
Especially in education, dog. Like, Jesus, right, man. We have to be the most educated that we've ever been at this point. Like,
it's great. Black women are. I'll say that. Black women are. I can't say that. We don't know. Your boy.
Your boy got a smooth associate. Yeah. Smooth associate, dog. I'm not even associated with college. I'm back now. I'm in there now. I'm getting to the bachelor's. We'll have a bachelor's soon. It's on the way.
Why not? Hopefully with the lover boy, you get the certified lover boy scholarship.
Boy, I'm not the one to get that too. I'm not the one to get that too.
You going to trick it off.
I'm not going to do what you think I'm going to do with that money. Whatever you expect, whatever scholarship you thought, I'm not the one to get that too, bro. Get that to somebody else. Because me, I'm going to the stock market.
That's funny, dude. I'm going to keep my positivity short as well. My positivity shout out actually goes to Lil Baby and Lil Durk. And it's not nothing crazy. It's just when we're talking about this Joe Budden situation, a big thing that rang true to me was just how you conduct yourself and just conduct yourself like a man of respect. And they were slated to release their joint album on the 28th of May. And that's the same album that DMX posthumous album is dropping. I think it's called Exodus. And they actually agreed to move it back because they didn't want to overshadow that album and anything that could have got from that album for that could have been proceeds to go to his family, the exposure that would have been shined on DMX's life, his career and everything like that. And they just said, yo, this date is bigger than us trying to put out a highly anticipated album. And I feel like that's just an honorable move, something subtle, but something that you can see like J. Cole right now is projected to do like 300,000. A Lil Baby and Lil Durk album is probably going to do somewhere at least 150, maybe even 200,000. But to say, no, we're going to take a break and let hopefully those numbers go to somebody's family that needs it. So a legend, you know, that passed away. I just think that's a dope move. That's an honorable move. And again, I like respect. I like moving on principle. And that was just something that was a move that I can respect.
Yeah, that's love. Bro, it's been, like I said it last week, but there's been a lot of these stories. Like, a lot of positivity going around, and I love to see it, man. This year is going so much better than 2020. Like, it's phenomenal. Like, it really is phenomenal.
Well, not if you down south trying to get some gas.
I hate people so much, dog. I seen a thing that said, like, imagine a scare of a shortage of gas causing a shortage of gas. It's like, that's... People, dog.
People going people, dog. People.
Well, that's what
people.
I was talking to somebody, a Korean, and we just was drinking and stuff on Friday, and I was just thinking like, this is why people complain about Americans in other countries. We selfish, we simple minded, act stupid, but got every opportunity in the world. Got every opportunity in the world to succeed, but instead we complain, bitch, moan. Stupid, act stupid about it, trick off the opportunities, and then we complain that somebody like stepped on us. Like, it can't be both, bro. We're in way better position than a lot of other countries out here. So it can't be both. Bro. We gotta stop complaining, bitching, and being stupid. Like, going to get 15 gallons of gas in like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy. Like, not 15, but you know, obviously more than that. But just like the filling up 17 of those little. Red little gas cans. It's crazy, dog. Crazy.
Just because, like, I'm scared. Like, not because gas is out, but because I'm scared that gas may be out. Same thing. Like, it's a pandemic, so everybody, let's go and get toilet paper.
Dog. what America got to do better, dog. America got to do better. Got some of the best education in the world, but stupid as hell. Like, but dumb as hell. Jesus, man. Well, bye. Hey, after this get done, though, I just make sure you send over those numbers, though.
Hey, bro, that's none of your business. Right? that ain't none of your business.
I ain't got no calculator, though, bro. Like, I need the numbers, though.
Hey,
like,
brother, you don't need no calculator.
You can send in a word
document. You can spell, right? you can spell, right? You can read. None of your business, though.
All right. See what time we on. I'll be making sure to do my own podcast here in about an hour.
Yeah, all right, bro. Talk about some who am I? Who are you? All right.
Who are you? Who are you?
Who are you? How dare you?
The remix. I'm dead. The remix. Oh, man. All right. Well, yeah, man. That's all we got for today, man. You got any closing statements?
Nah, I appreciate y'all for joining. Appreciate y'all for joining us. Appreciate y'all for tuning in.
Yeah, man. Thank y'all for tuning in. This is the Who Am I Pod. We out.